Go ahead and open the Bible, your Bibles to Psalm 139. And Job 38. Psalm 139 and Job 38. If you're at Psalm, take a left short distance there and go to Job. We did this a year ago, maybe, or something, talked about this a little bit. I want to talk about fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. So in Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So, fearfully and wonderfully made. And back over in Job, beginning in verse 2, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. So here we are, fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to talk a little bit about that today, and I know Job's a little different circumstance, but it's the same question. God would answer ask the quote-unquote agnostics or atheists, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? They answer without knowledge. They don't understand. They don't have an understanding of reality. I want to look at a few things about being fearfully and wonderfully made. And, you know, they always talk about, well, look at the eyeball. It's so complex and all this stuff. I mean, you don't even have to get there. If you just look at a cell with the little organelles in it and all the endoplasmic reticulum and all these little gizmos in there, and just the cell itself, a heart muscle cell. A heart muscle cell, the heart's the only organ in the body that can beat without anything else telling it to do it. It has the action potential from negative and positive ions in there to make a beat. Then you've got the vagus nerve down that runs down through there that controls the rhythm and the speed of the heart. Well, the rhythm's controlled by nodes in the heart, but the speed of the heart is controlled by vagus nerve. Well, you've got, I'm terrible with art, but you guys will figure out what I'm drawing here. These are not kidneys, these are lungs. So, I'm not trying to take you to an in-depth science class. I don't remember all the details of some of the physiology, some of this stuff, but I had to grudgingly go through some of this stuff. But anyway, it's just amazing how scientists can get an understanding of the body and get further away from God instead of closer to Him. It doesn't make any sense. They're cuckoo. They're loony. You have a nerve called the phrenic nerve. And it's involved in respiration. The vagus nerve is involved in regulating the speed of the heart. And it's very complicated. What we do understand of it, and we don't know what we don't know, so we don't know everything about it, but what we do understand about it is the O2 content here sends a signal that comes back through this vagus nerve that will increase the heart rate. If somebody has low oxygen content, the heart rate will speed up. They have you have pressure in your carotid arteries up in the neck, the carotid arteries. And those pressure sensors will identify the blood pressure, and they help regulate the heart. All this stuff happens and goes through different systems that end up regulating the heart rate, the respiration rate, all these things work together. The chance of that being an accident is like me telling you they're going to fly a helicopter over Ohio from one side to the other. I'm not going to tell you where they're at, north to south, but from one side to the other, they're going to fly a helicopter over Ohio, and they're going to drop a red paintball. Go out there and mark a 2-inch square where that paintball is going to hit an hour before it happens. You'd have more chance of doing that than this happening on its own. This is crazy to think that this is an accident. So even if you look at a basic cell, you got sodium, chloride ions, you got, you've got calcium, potassium, you got all kinds of things going on. Those things moving in and out of these cells. And everything in the cell wall has to be just perfect for that to work, for those things to move in and out. Then you get into osmosis, which is what Baptists think. That's how Baptists think you read your Bible. You just put it in a room. And then you have diffusion. I don't know if that has two F's in it or not. It doesn't matter. So probably not. We're just going to say not. I don't remember. So anyway, osmosis is basically just something basically going from a higher concentration to a lower concentration. Okay, you say, well, that's simple. That just could just happen. Yeah, but if the cell membrane's not right, it can't do that. If the cell membrane's not able to let those things penetrate, it can't do that. But it does it. Then you have diffusion. I'm going to go ahead and put the F back in there. Don't know why. I got two F's in school before. Anyway. So then you have, active and passive diffusion. So active takes other sources, it takes other things to be in place for it to pump things in and pump things out. And that all depends on channels in the cell membrane, which are fats and proteins and different things like that. So this can't just happen on its own. There has to be the right environment for it. That environment, okay, say it happened once. What would cause it to keep happening over and over and over again? God. Diffusion, for that to act active or passive, either one, the only way it could happen over and over and over again is if there's an external creator. That stuff just couldn't happen. When you, let's see. I'm going to draw. I'm not even going to waste time trying to draw it. Nice, because I couldn't do it anyway. So you get a cut on your arm. What happens within seconds of the time you get that cut? Nobody would have ever lived through the evolution of that happening. You know what I mean? Nothing would have lived through that. And there are millions of things that are going on, you know, with phagocytes and neutrophils. And monocytes. These different things, and these cells are not only being released to clean up damage and cause inflammation and start the healing process, but these cells are being changed into other cells in the meantime. So that's just too much. It takes so much faith to believe that this stuff happened by accident. You know, these people, I'll tell you, don't be impressed by their degrees. Men of high degree. It's just ridiculous. The more stuff I heard in school, I wasn't smart and I wasn't born into a rich family or college educated folks, you know, but I had some common sense at least at one time. And when I started listening to school, I thought, you people are crazy. And you're getting paid for this. But all this stuff, it's just an amazing thing. Talking about fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, you can look at the eye and all that, and the camera. We can't create a camera that can duplicate all the actions of the eye and all that stuff. Well, they're going to try. They're going to keep trying until they say they beat it and all this stuff, but camera can't heal itself. Amen. The eye and the digestive system heals in 3 to 5 days generally for most things if it has the right environment. Instead of a 30-day cell cycle or 28 days, it's got a 3 to 5 day cell cycle turnover in your mouth. How could that happen? it just so happens that the cells in your mouth turn over faster than the cells in your foot? How? That is serious. There's a serious problem here with people that believe that there is no God. So for you to believe there is no God, you would have to believe that that cell is a God, because that cell controls what comes in and out of it. So they might not admit it or might not believe it, but if there is no God, then an individual cell must be a God, because it's telling things what to do and what not to do. You got the Krebs cycle. That's the energy cycle, and every cell has to deal with ADP, change into ATP, which is your energy. NAD, H, turn to, NAD, turn to NADH. This all has to do with a really complex energy system that every cell does repeatedly over and over and over in everybody that's ever lived. How could that just happen? It couldn't just happen. And if it did just happen, why is it not changing? Because that the same thing that they knew about the body 100 years ago is the same now. The things they actually knew, not the things they, you know, bloodletting and goofy stuff like that. I'm not talking about the treatments and all that goofiness. I'm just talking about the complexity of the energy system of the body, even just a cell. That Krebs cycle is just an amazing cycle. It's called TCA cycle, glycolic acid cycle. Got a bunch of different names, but Krebs cycle. If you want to look it up on YouTube or look it up somewhere. Just type it in on a Google search and read about it. And about five or six sentences into there, you're going to go, these people are nuts that don't believe in God, right? I mean, there's just too much. It's too much. And then somehow, magnesium and calcium and sodium and all this stuff, it just happens to work together. And somehow, the stuff in the plants, the different fats, oils, omega 3, 6, 9, all those stuff just happen to be in the plants, and your body uses that to regulate function, especially immune system function. So all that stuff just happens to be. So everything comes from nothing, and then all this stuff just happened to come about. I mean, if this was real, I'd be hoping that I'd have a full tank of gas when I got outside, because I was just over empty when I got here. But shouldn't that car be evolving into something that has more fuel in it? It'd be easier for me to believe that tank would be full accidentally than this happened accidentally. It's just craziness. And like I say, there are some good people out there teaching and some smart people out there teaching. And there are some people out there that are so proud and self-absorbed that they can't allow themselves to believe in God, or at least admit it. It's just ridiculous, though. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Talk about the largest organ in the body. I know y'all have heard this, the skin. Now that skin, we've already talked about the fact that the soul has a body shape. We know that from Luke 16. The rich man was begging somebody to touch the tip of his tongue in water. So he looked up so he could see. He was begging somebody to touch the tip of his tongue in water. He could feel, he could see, he could hear, all that stuff, because he was communicating. So the soul has a body shape. We know that from phantom pains in people that have limbs taken off and stuff. And they say, well, it's just the nerve endings. No, the nerve endings where they could feel out there at the end are gone. The receptors are gone. The nerves are still there, but the receptors for feel left with the amputation. The reason they can still feel that is because that soul still has that shape. That soul didn't lose that limb. The flesh did. The receptors are what pick up the information to send it to the brain to identify it. So if the receptors are gone, how could you feel phantom pain? Have you ever heard somebody say, my toe itches? And they don't have a toe. They didn't say their foot. They say their toe. They're my big toe. In their mind, they know where it is and what it is, but it's not there physically. And they'll say specific things like that. But The reason I want to talk about this is skin being the biggest organ in the body. Talk about this. The way healing works, part of the way the healing process works, when you get a cut, all these cells, you get a cut through here, these cells communicate with each other. They touch each other. And when they touch each other, they say, hey, I'm here and I'm here. We're doing our jobs. Let's work together. Like the United States of Cells here, right? So that cut says, hey, there's a gap here. And the reason you get scar tissues, they no longer have a signal that they're next to each other, so they create more cells to fill in that gap so they can touch. There's been a lot of studies that show when you have an operation and they cut your skin, there are a lot of things that change because your communications, your body is a giant communication network where all the cells communicate with each other indirectly or directly. So when they cut your skin, there's a difference in that communication, there's a difference in your health. And I mean, the basic difference in scar tissue between keloid and amyloid scars. I'm trying to remember. I might be wrong on some of these names, but you get a cut and it heals and it's a straight cut, you know, and it gets all like there's a scar. Let's say it's in a muscle. Now, if you get a jagged cut and it heals, the muscle still functions pretty good because the jagged cut is running more with the muscle fiber. But when you get a cut like that, it doesn't function as well because it loses the function from here to here totally. That little piece doesn't function at all. These pieces do function because it's a zigzag. But a lot of times, it's better to have a natural injury that heals on its own because it'll heal like this than have it surgically repaired because it heals like this. We can get into childbirth and stuff like that and episiotomies and not having them. There's a big difference in stuff, and there's a big difference. Part of that's because of that intercellular communication and the way scar tissue works. But just the fact that those cells say, hey, my neighbor's gone. Our neighbor's gone too, so those cells will upregulate and start producing cells to put in that gap. Well, your body's sending phagocytes in there to eat up all the trash, sending monocytes in there to attack the infection, fibrogen, all different kinds of stuff going on to start that net mesh work for healing and all that. And that mesh work is giving a place for the cells to land so they can start populating and communicate again. But all that stuff's happening. There's absolutely no way on God's green earth that God didn't do this. There's absolutely no way. It's impossible. It is totally impossible for there not to be a creator. Just absolutely impossible. It's insane to not believe in a creator. I mean, just so many differences. Oh, the liver. Man, I'll tell you, what a gizmo. That thing is amazing. This and the kidneys, but the liver is a detox center. It's involved in cholesterol regulation and production. It's involved in the immune system. It's involved in carb storage. It's involved in indirectly... I'm going to put sugar regulation. It's indirectly involved. Sugar regulation. MEOS. Methanol system. That's part of the detox system. Like to change alcohol and get it out of your body. It's just an amazing thing. It also has the ability to heal, and even though it doesn't get scars like the outward body does, it has the ability to identify problems and heal it. You know, the body just has an amazing ability to heal. Also has to do with blood pressure, but that's kind of a, that's not one of the first things you think about, but it does have something to do with that. You've heard of portal hypertension, has to do with liver congestion and stuff like that. It's all kinds of crazy stuff. But that little liver there, that's an amazing item. And then the kidney, and the kidney's an amazing thing. If you're all kidney, you'll be thinking about beans. I'm just going to draw one. I'm pushing it anyway. So that kidney, inside here, you have what they call a loop of Henle. Little loops. That certain things go through here, and they diffuse in and out, and they're passively and actively transported in and out to take toxins out of it. Just an amazing thing. How in the world could that happen accidentally? I mean, the more these scientists know and say, look what we know, look what we know, and then they turn away from God. To me, everything that they can prove about the body should take them closer to God. Now, this is really, really important for maintaining proper sodium concentration and blood pressure. And hydration, which is definitely connected. All this stuff. Just so many things that are, I mean, there's so many things going on that I just thought we'd talk about a little bit, because we don't stop and think about this. We just assume a lot. Really stop about what's going, think about what's going on all the time. And then you have, this is the favorite word of the, I hope it's spelled right, I don't know. Can't remember. Then the atheists and the evolutionists will talk about vestigial organs like tonsils, appendix, all that stuff. They say, well, we don't need them. And then they find out there's a purpose for them both in the immune system, at least that they know of. And most of them won't admit to that. They just say, oh, that's vestigial. We'll just cut it out. No, gallbladder, you don't need that thing. We'll take that thing out too. You can live without it. Think God put it in there by accident? Now, I understand sometimes it's disease and it's really bad and there's nothing they can do to fix it. God could fix it if he wanted to, but it gets to a point where they can't do anything but operate. But sometimes that's all they know how to do, so that's all they do. Amen? I mean, that's what they're trained to do. If you take your car to get its oil changed, people are trained to change its oil, they're going to give you an oil change. You go to a surgeon, most of them are going to give you a surgery. If you have, don't, not United Healthcare, we know, see where that ends up. But if you have Blue Cross or something, you got a good insurance, you can get a lot of surgeries. And I'm not saying all of them are unnecessary. I'm just saying to the hammer, everything's a nail. And I thank God for the advancement that God has allowed men to do through medicine and surgical procedures, and especially crisis medicine, you know, accidents, traumatic things like that, gunshot wounds, car accidents, plane crashes, all that stuff. If you make it through a plane crash, you're going to need more than one doctor, though. But thank God for that. But the basic mindset of the medical community is this. Yeah, you don't need that. You can live without it. I'm not saying all of them believe that, but the majority are educated by Big Pharma. I guarantee it. I've been in the profession, not the medical side of it, but I've taken their classes. I've listened to seen their seminars, sat through their ethics seminars, talked to their doctors, had personal relationships where I sent people back and forth to medical doctors, and I know the way a lot of these guys think. Had some folks that I started in pre-med school with, pre-med classes with, that left, decided not to go into chiropractic, but go into medicine because their mindset was this. And a lot of them would say stuff like that. We just don't believe that. Because the premise is what I was taught when I was going into chiropractic, the reason I went into it, which I'm not sure the Lord was in that, but whatever. Your body has an innate ability to heal itself. And that's an inborn ability to heal itself that comes from God. To me, that makes sense. If that's true, then probably 70% of this is unnecessary. Wouldn't you agree? 30% of it, thank God for it. But 70% of it is unnecessary. If the body has the ability to heal itself. If the body has the ability to heal itself, and it's not healing, that's the question that has to be answered. I'll tell you, most of the medical profession are women drivers. Seriously, hang on. The light comes on, you just got to get that light shut off. We'll cover the light up, drive home, or whatever. So when the light comes on, the medical profession, because they're educated by these folks, they say, well, there's the engine light. What can we do to cover it up? They never fix the problem that sent the engine light on. You can only run without oil for so long. I was kind of joking about the women driver thing. I've known men to do the same thing. Males, anyway. Most of you guys that have to work on your own stuff, when a light comes on, you take it seriously. And if you got the money to just throw it to somebody else, you know, yeah, whatever, I'll drive it till it blows up. But when you got to fix it, you start taking those things very seriously. But that's the vast majority of our medical system is based on this thought process from an evolutionary thought process. And their education is being heavily influenced, if not totally controlled, by them. And they're not. I was blessed to be taught some stuff that most medical doctors have no idea of. That's very basic stuff. Like, not just a 3-hour nutrition course. It had to have several hours of nutrition. I mean, I don't remember 24 hours of nutrition or something like that, plus biochemistry, plus, you know, physiology and all that stuff. But they don't get that much on nutrition. They get a little bit on nutrition, and I think the reason they get that is so they can talk to their patients and understand what their patients are saying and then redirect their patients back to here. Now, some of the newer doctors are kind of rebels, and they're kind of going the natural way, but most of them are, man, they're all geared up for big pharma. And now you can start to see the pharmaceutical companies are now producing and marketing vitamins, CoQ10. You can get pharmaceutical grade because they know that people aren't going to quit using some things, so they'll just take that in and make money off of it. They can't market it as and patent it because God made it, but they can patent a process and make it pharmaceutical grade and sell it for more. And I'm not saying you should buy the cheapest vitamins you can get either, because that stuff at Walmart, half that stuff's probably just lead dust with coloring in from China. But I mean, the cheap stuff like B complex and D, that stuff's really cheap. So why would they not just go ahead and make it decent? But the more expensive stuff like CoQ10, you're better off going with a good brand that costs a little more. Like Healthy Origins is a great brand. Usually Carlson's is a pretty good brand. But I don't know why I'm going to chase a rabbit on this, but it's just so amazing. I can't, you know, people are like, I've had people say, well, I'm a college graduate, and if you knew what I know, you wouldn't believe what you believe. And I'm like, I know. I don't say it because I think I'm better than anybody, because I think I'm a dunce for wasting all that time in college instead of spending 6 or 8 years reading the Bible. But one thing they can't tell me is I've got more education than you, and you're an idiot. Well, the first part's not true. 95% of the time, they don't have more education. The idiot part, sure, we're all idiots, whatever. You call me an idiot, Charlie? No. This is an eraser, not a finger. Don't take it personally. Did it knock your pointed hat off in the corner? I want to tell you that. I want to talk about this. One reason I want to talk about it, I could care less about the education part as far as, you know, I got a degree and all this, and they handed me a big piece of paper and all this. You know, the guy was standing up there in a $2,000 suit with $500 shoes on and said, here, you are now somebody. Good night. The Lord thought I was somebody on Calvary before I was even here. And he wasn't impressed by a piece of paper or somebody in a suit full of baloney and hot air handing it to somebody. But I want to tell you that because don't be intimidated by these people that have these 500 degrees. Don't be intimidated by them. Go stick with the book. If I can waste all that time and go through all those tests and I can still end up right here, don't be intimidated by them. I get a kick out of it because my mom or my sisters or somebody will say, well, so-and-so said this or this said, and I said, it's baloney. And usually I can just say it's baloney because it doesn't match up with the Bible. But then sometimes they get into the medical part of it, and I'm going, it's baloney too. If it doesn't make sense, there's a buck in it, right? But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's absolutely no way anything that you see around is an accident. And definitely not the human body.